Luke chapter 15. The book of Luke in chapter number 15. God always knows what he's doing. I don't always understand what he's doing, but he knows what he is doing. Yes, go. But if you would please, in Luke 15, verse 25, if you'd stand please, I'll read the word of God. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now you're very familiar with this scripture. It's been mentioned throughout the week from time to time about the prodigal son. And he'd come home. Now we're talking about the elder brother. And verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Paul's there to say, did you know that we have an inheritance with Christ? We're heirs and joint heirs, the Bible says. And a joint heir gets as much as the other heir gets. And that means if we're joint heirs with Christ, everything that he has, we have. Now, that'll bog your mind, sure enough. And think about how good it is down here and what God's blessed us with and how wonderful it is. But just think about what's going to be over there when we get with him, see him, and then that's not even counting the inheritance and all that. Well, where was I? And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm in that crowd that was lost. Was, past tense, but is found. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege tonight to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for these who have come this way. What a privilege. What a joy to our hearts to be together in the house of God again. Lord, you know exactly what you want to say to all of us tonight. And I pray that you'll take thy word and so illuminate my mind and help me with the touch of God be able to preach like you want me to preach. And I pray the Holy Spirit would guide our speech and help us to say what we need to say. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. And I pray the love of God and the power of God would so work in this service that you'd help all of us identify wherever it is we need to identify. And help us be encouraged, strengthened. Then, Father, where conviction's needed, I pray, real Holy Ghost conviction, grip hearts, grip lives. And, Father, then I pray that you'd help all of us in this house tonight, that we'll rejoice in the blood, the power, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you tonight for those who are here that know not the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful they're here. I'm thankful they've come this way. I pray the Holy Spirit speak to them in that special way that we've heard about so many times, convicting power. God be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's a whole lot could be preached out of this whole chapter, and I know that it's been mentioned, and Brother David Shelton preached out about that silver coin that was lost. You remember that? And then Brother Joe had mentioned about the prodigal son coming home, and I forget how he put it. Some more kicked the pail and hit the trail, but he has a way of putting things. But anyway, he come home. He got home. The father was glad to see him come. and went and fell on his neck and kissed him and loved him up and got him home. But I want you to look at verse number 28, if you would please. And talking about the elder brother now. And let me pause to say this. In this whole story in Luke 15, it's really about the elder brother. Now, all the other things, it's the lost sheep, the lost corn, and the lost son, that all ties into it, of course. But he was talking to those religious crowd that would not get involved in what was going on. And they didn't believe he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they were out there and they would not get in. And he's really talking to them. Elder brother represents that crowd that would not get in. They wouldn't be a part of it because they did not believe. And here it says, and he was angry and would not go in. And I want to preach just for a few moments on that subject. We'll not come in. We'll not come in. And being involved, many, and I know here tonight, many of you have been involved, greatly involved in this past week. And I praise God for that. And you didn't have to work in the kitchen. You didn't have to maybe run a sweeper or something like that. But you was involved in the meeting. You got in. You didn't just be in the service, but you got in. I want to get in. I want to get in deep. You remember when Ezekiel got in the water, it was up to his ankles. Then he went a little further, got up to his knees, went a little further, got up to his loins. After a while, it got so deep, he had to swim in it. Well, I've been so deep this week, I've been swimming some. Amen. It got so deep sometimes, we had to swim our way through. And I say, hallelujah. I like it. And I praise God for it and rejoice in it. But I want to stay involved in what God's doing. And the question comes up then, why? And so why would he not get involved? And why was he angry? And why was he in that situation that he was in? When here the brother had come home and they were singing and praising and having music and killed a fatty calf and they was having a coming home party. And yet he didn't get involved in it. He somehow stayed outside and sulked about it because he didn't get involved in that. Now let me give you three things tonight. And I pray God to speak to your heart and speak to my heart and help us all get something out of this. He did not understand. He didn't understand his father's heart. He didn't understand the fact that his father was so glad to see him come. He didn't even understand that the father had that robe ready for his son when he got there. He didn't know he'd even had the robe because he hadn't come in, hadn't even seen his brother. So he didn't understand. He didn't understand what was really happening. He just knew that his brother had took his part of the inheritance, went out, and wasted it with righteous living. And now he's come home and the dad has got all this going on and he don't understand it. And so that's the same way of people that sometimes are in church and don't really get involved. Let me say this tonight. Everyone will be a part of a good local Bible preaching church. Amen. Amen. And someone mentioned this morning, I forgot who was testifying, but it's hard trying to find a church. I know that. I believe Brother Mike Boone was talking about that. And looking for a church. And Gateway Baptist Church is not perfect. Gateway Baptist Church does not have a perfect pastor. Gateway Baptist Church does not have perfect people. But Gateway Baptist Church do have a stand that we take on this King James Bible, a stand we take on a standard of living. And I realize the fact that there may be some disagreement in some little areas, petty things, but we're here together because we love God, and we're going to serve God together, and we're going to shout together, and we're going to wave our hands together, and we're going to say amen together, and we're going to read the Bible together, and we're going to sing together, and we're just going to be together, amen, and support each other and go on for God and trust God that he'll have his way. I want him to add to the church this year. I want to see God get a hold of hearts, and there's something my heart cries for. I prayed for, begged God for. I'm going to keep on begging God, keep on praying. Holy Ghost can do what I can't do, what you can't do, he can do. I remember Brother Petty that was here years ago, they now away, but I remember him talking about, it's Jerry Heilman. Brother Petty had witnessed to him on the job. That's how it was. It's Brother Jerry Heilman. And talking about at work, he had witnessed to him, telling him about Jesus and I got behind the machine one day, and God awoken in his heart, and God awoken in his eyes, and I say, hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, the Holy Ghost can go where you work, where they work, and he can get you, amen, wherever they are. He can get you wherever you are, but he can get them wherever they are. And somehow tonight, I just feel like God's trying to get somebody to see themselves in need of a Savior. If you ever realize how much he paid for you, we said a while ago, I ask you the question, how many would give your son for some harlot? How many would give your son for some drug addict? Somebody out there deep in sin. How many of us would give our son for them so they could live? And how many of us would go to Calvary and be nailed to a cross and crowned with thorns and beaten and blood run? How many of us would do that for anybody like that? They wouldn't even have to be a harlot or a drunk or a drug addict. But anybody could be somebody upright, a good citizen, good husband, good wife, whatever. And we would give our life to keep them out of hell. But Jesus did. Jesus did. And I say hallelujah. I want to praise him. I want to wave my hand for him. I want to shout for him. I want a choir to sing for him. I want us all to see that and realize that. Amen. I'll tell you another thing about this young man here, that he wouldn't come in. You see, he stayed out, and he was at home, but he was not in tune with the Father's heart. And you can be in church and not be in tune with what's really going on. And I pray God to help us. I believe all of us got some strings tightened up this week. And I've seen Brother Brady Rochester get up here. And I know those men over there do it. But I don't see them do it as much as I do Brady, because he's right here in front of us. He tunes as he goes. And I've seen him turn that knob a little bit. I don't know what you call that thing. But anyway, whatever it is on the end of a guitar. And he'll turn and tighten up a string or loosen a string. And he'll thumb it a little bit so he can hear the sound to make sure it's in tune. And when it's all in tune, all those strings are in tune, it sounds real good. But you get one of them out of tune, it'll plunk or something. It's not right. Now, you folk, y'all know a lot more about music than I do, most of you. And probably can hear it a lot better than I can hear it. But I know when it sounds good and when it doesn't sound good. I have heard some that just, I knew that when they was singing or playing, something was out of tune somewhere, or my hearing had gone bad. But he wasn't in tune. A father, he was looking every day, I believe, for that son to come. And this older son, he just wasn't in tune with that. He just knew that man had left the inheritance, and he just didn't want to get in tune with that. But let me give you an example sometimes of how being in the house and still be out of tune. You remember the story of Judas, of course. You know Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You're aware, and I'm aware of that. We say how horrible that was. And it was horrible. It was sad. It was really horrible. And this week we heard a message about Demas having forsaken Paul. And that was horrible. That was a sad thing. But how much do we think about those disciples that went to the garden when Jesus went to pray before he was going to Calvary? And when they got to the garden, 8 stayed just inside the gate. And then he took 3, there wasn't but 11, because the 12th one had gone to betray him, Judas. And yet they took the 3 best, but there's 3 closest to him. He took them more places than he did to others. And he took them, they went on further into the garden. And he said to them, watch and pray. And the Bible says he is in great agony. In fact is, he finally prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was in such agony about going to the cross of Calvary and taking the sin of the world and paying the price for me and for you, that he prayed, God, if it be, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But as he prayed that prayer, as he sweated that kind of sweat, as he's in that kind of agony, he comes back out, and what's the 3 doing he left there? They're sleeping. They've gone to sleep. And he wakes them up and says, watch and pray. And he goes back in agony and prays some more. Come back. They're asleep again. Wakes them up. Says, can you not watch and pray for 1 hour? And he went back and prayed again. And come back. And again, they were asleep. And he said, sleep on. He realized the fact They couldn't take it. They wouldn't get involved in it. And you just think about that. A desperate time for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to Calvary, yet they wouldn't pray. They wouldn't watch and wouldn't pray. That's a sad commentary for them, but you and I can be the same way and not realize it. We can be in church and be thinking about something else. And there can be something going on, and we're wishing they'd hurry up because they some TV program or they some place we want to go eat or there's something happening. We got to get out. And so we could be in the same condition as they were and be asleep on God. Look at verse number 11, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in striving and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he's saying here it's high time to awake out of sleep. Of course, he's not talking about physical sleep there. He's talking about our lull in our spiritual life. And I tried to preach this morning. I thought about this afternoon. I was thinking about this message and thinking, Lord, maybe we need to go another route and get on the shouting side of this thing a little bit. But he said, no, just go ahead and do what I say and it'll be all right. And so that's what I'm trying to do. This morning I try to encourage us about keeping on, you know, and don't slack up now, but keep on going for God. And here, getting involved, just the same burden of my heart, same burden of, I believe, God's heart for us is that we keep on going. I know how easy it is for me to get on fire for God in a good meeting and then something come by, a few disappointments, and you're out of sorts and are not where you need to be spiritually. And that's why I need your prayers so much. That's why you need my prayers. That's why we need each other's prayer. It's because the devil will do everything he can to rob us of that joy and keep us from being involved in the services. And I want you to get really involved and jump right in and get to it. And do you ever think about the second coming? That ought to get us involved. And somebody, and I read this and couldn't get over it this afternoon. Somebody put it like this. We ought to live our lives like Christ died yesterday, arose today, coming back tomorrow. I said, hallelujah, that's pretty good. Hey, amen. If we live like he died yesterday, it's fresh on our mind. And live like today is the day he got up, that'll be fresh on our mind. And tomorrow's coming back to get us. That'll be fresh on our mind. That's a good way to live our lives. Now pass that quote on to you so that you can have it and think about it day by day. Then secondly, he did not love his brother. He didn't love his brother. He may have said, I love my family, this, that, and the other. But he really didn't love his brother. Real love doesn't act this way. To really love is to care. And John 13:35 said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. And so we have to forgive one another. And that love that God so put it lovingly put into us to love others. And that kind of love that loves the unlovable and tries to help those that may be working against you or they don't understand, they can't handle it. I'm glad, thank God, for that love of God inside that helps us. And so we need to love others. But he didn't love his brother. Didn't care what happened to him. And all he could see was he'd gone out there, riotous living, and away he went. And, you know, most of the time, things come up in our lives as little petty things or selfish things, self-centeredness and jealousy or something like that. Comes up in our lives and robs us of our joy, keeps us from jumping in, getting involved. And I say to you tonight, it's not worth it. It's not worth whatever that little thing is in our life that the devil usually try to bother us, try to keep us from getting really involved. And you know, whatever it is, just forget about it and jump in and have a good time. Amen. And get a part, be a part of it. And I'm glad that we can come to Gateway Baptist Church and be a part of it. and one's as important as the other is. Somebody might sing, but the other singers are just as important as they are. Somebody may preach, but the other preachers have their place. I am the pastor, but anyway, so I have to say so over this pulpit. I get to preach when I want to, amen. And the rest of you, just hang around. We'll preach when God nudges us that way. And I even forgot about being the fifth Sunday, but that didn't make any difference. I know God wanted me to share what I'm sharing today. God wanted me to share with you. And this Jubilee we just came out of, and I want us to have Jubilee tonight, Jubilee. And by the way, we can't have Jubilee all the time. Now, I know Brother Joe said that we could have Jubilee, and I know what he meant. In that sense that we can praise God, in the sense that we can have joy, and the sense that we can just get beside ourselves, any service is liable to happen. That's right. I agree with that. But when you eat, you have to eat something more than ice cream. You better eat something besides ice cream. Where's Scott Eisler? That boy can eat more ice cream. And half a gallon of ice cream, nothing at his house. You better jump in quick or you won't get any. And he can eat that ice cream. But if you eat that all the time, after a while he'd break his body down and he couldn't take it. You got to have some meat sometime. And sometimes you got to have some yeast rolls. There ain't no question about that. You got to have that. That's part of living. Amen. Life is beating without yeast rolls pretty dull. And so you have to have some other things to have. And some vegetables to help you along the way. And we have to have these things. But I'm telling you tonight, thank God we can get involved and be a part of it. But he didn't love his brother. Didn't really care what happened to his brother. I don't believe he really cared. I think, why would he be angry when he come home if he really cared? If he'd really been praying for and asking God to bring his brother home, why would he get angry? If he really cared about him, why would he get upset about it? If he really cared, he didn't care. And as far as he's concerned, he'd go out there in the hog pen and stay there. As far as he's concerned, it didn't make a difference. He died there. It didn't make a difference to him. But let me just give you the third thing. He was afraid it would cost him something. He was afraid it cost him something if he got involved. And I know that the younger son came, got his inheritance, took it out there and wasted it on righteous living. Now, when he came back home and the father got excited about this, and killed a fatted calf, put the robe on him, ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and did all that. That older brother probably was thinking in the back of his mind, now my father is so excited about this son coming home, he's going to take part of my inheritance and give to him. Let me say this to you. He ought to have been thankful he even had anybody to have an inheritance from. Amen. And talking about sharing somebody, he shouldn't have been worried about that. What he ought to have been worried about was, my brother has come home, and I'm excited about my brother getting home. He's not out there somewhere where he ought not to be. My dad will help him, and my dad will guide his life. My dad has worked hard to get it here and have an inheritance. My dad, and now he's home with my dad. My dad's excited about it. I'm going to jump in and get excited with him. And he could have went in there, hugged his brother, hugged his daddy, had a good time. Instead of that, he sat outside and just sulked, just pouted because a brother come home, they was having a good time. We've had a good time, and I'm not going to sit outside of it when people get to having a good time. I want to get in there and have a good time too. And day by day, week by week, and month by month as we go in 2012, we're going to go in together having a good time. Amen. We're going in together trusting God. We're going in together. Sometimes we may have to dry our back and preach some things that rose your row. And sometimes we may have something that gets you up in the glory world. And sometimes maybe something that we have to hold behind, I said the other day, and clean out the weeds. But oh, thank God for what he did for us. Everybody got touched. Everybody got blessed. Everybody preached. Everybody sung. I'm just going to jump in there with them. Hallelujah. Have a good time. Get involved. Don't be one of those outside. Now, you may not be pouting about anything. You may not be in that way, but you're not really involved. Let me encourage you to get really involved. Just let God help you. Look, Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have tonight to open the Word of God. Just look in the Word of God and find something to help us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can enjoy serving the Lord. Thank you for helping us tonight. And I pray you'd help our folk. Those who are here unsaved, I pray, God, you'd help them. We give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. She got saved. She had been a wicked woman, and her life had been filled with filth. But God wonderfully saved her, cleaned her up. She got to come to church. She went in the choir. Then a couple of women got to talking about it because she was in the choir and remembering her past and all that. And she quit going to the choir. But the church found out about it. They asked those ladies to go apologize to her. She wouldn't go. They wouldn't go apologize to her. Then the church withdrew fellowship from them and asked her to go back to the choir and sing. I say, praise God, that's the way it ought to be. When God cleans up, he cleans it up. Thank God. I'm glad when he sees me, he sees the blood. Let's stand to our feet, please.